almost from the earliest moments of our acquaintance, I have come to feel for you a passionate admiration and regard, which, despite all my struggles, has overcome every rational objection, and I beg you most fervently to relieve my suffering and consent to be my wife.
In such cases as these, I believe the established mode is to express a sense of obligation. But I cannot.
Do you recognize that conversation? Fans of Pride and Prejudice know right away that's Mr. Darcy fighting to win the heart and the hand of Elizabeth Bennet. And those fans love Jane Austen's world of keen observation and sharp wit, all set in a backdrop of 19th century England.
It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife.
Men of sense, whatever you may say, do not want silly wives.
Mamma, the more I know of the world, the more I am convinced that I shall never see a man whom I can really love. I require so much.
Jane Austen produced just 6 novels in her career, but her stories of social class, marriage, feminism, and yes, women in love, have left a huge mark on literature and pop culture. Sense and Sensibility was first in 1811, followed just 2 years later by Pride and Prejudice, and then Mansfield Park, and then Emma. Jane Austen's witty banter and razor-sharp observation was a hit in England first, and then in America, and of course today. It's popular beyond even what she could have dreamed of. Jane Austen had a short career, though. She died at just 41 years old, 200 years ago today. And that anniversary means a celebration and an appreciation for Jane Austen fans and scholars. Part of that celebration takes place near the yellow-painted brick home where Austen lived in Winchester, England. And Juliet Wells is there now. She's professor of English at Goucher College, also author of Everybody's Jane Austen in the Popular Imagination. And her forthcoming book is called Reading Austen in America. Juliet, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, what's being celebrated today, do you think? You know, not every author gets a party 2 centuries after her death.
Oh, it's absolutely true, but nobody deserves it more than Jane Austen. It's hard to imagine a novelist from her time period who has more devoted fans and readers around the globe.
So why is that? Let's stick to America. What is it that Americans love so much about her, do you think? We do have a fascination with British things, that's true. We love period pieces, that's also true, but it's more than that.
It is more than that. I think Americans respond to the sense of freedom within constraints that she portrays, especially for her women characters. And of all her novels, Pride and Prejudice is the one that has a sentiment that I think Americans respond to most strongly.
Tell me why, Pride and Prejudice, why that one?
Elizabeth Bennet, the heroine, speaks truth to power. She doesn't take any guff from Lady Catherine de Bourgh, the titled woman who is her social superior, but not in any way her superior in other senses. And Pride and Prejudice also emphasizes the importance of pursuing your own version of personal happiness. And I think Americans respond very strongly to that.
This idea of freedom within constraint is interesting to me because, you know, at first glance, you might think, well, Jane Austen stories, they're a bit antiquated. The quest for a husband, there's lots of witty repartee, and there's certainly a lot of interesting psychology in these books. But some of this is a bit passé for modern American women. But you say there's still a lot of freedom within that.
You know, I hear from readers all the time, readers of all ages and all backgrounds, that they find Jane Austen's depiction of human nature just absolutely incomparable. And I hear from women readers and young women in particular that they find not just Austen's heroines, but Austen's own life story very inspirational because she chose not to marry in a time period when marriage was the accepted fate for women. She chose to concentrate on her writing. She devoted herself with incredible professionalism to writing in what turned out to be the last decade of her life. She didn't see any of her works published until she was in her 30s, but she had been writing steadily, more or less, as circumstances permitted since her early teens. So for anyone who wants to have a life as an artist or as a writer, she's a very inspirational example.
Jane Austen wrote anonymously. The 6 novels she's most famous for came out anonymously, not by Jane Austen as they're known today. That's sort of ironic for an author whose work has become so intensely popular today.
You're absolutely right. Her first publication gave her identity on the title page only as By a Lady, and that was the novel Sense and Sensibility in 1811. And then after that, each title page identified her as the author of Sense and Sensibility, or the author of Pride and Prejudice.
Man, I mean, times have changed, haven't they? I hear you say that, and I just think it's remarkable, especially given the themes and the dilemmas that her characters had.
Yes, and she focuses so much on women's growth in self-knowledge, women's growth emotionally and psychologically. And readers for generations have gotten the sense that nothing held Jane Austen back in spite of all the constraints that are evident even on those title pages.
So now today, Juliet, millions of Americans read the books, but millions more, of course, go to the movies. We know that. Huge stars have taken a crack at Jane Austen characters. We've moved on to these meta adaptations, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Her face is rendered uncommonly intelligent by the beautiful expression of her dark eyes.
And, you know, I had no idea until yesterday that Clueless was Emma. I just never knew that. I've read Emma. I've seen Clueless. I had no idea they were the same thing.
Everything I think and everything I do is wrong. I was wrong about Elton. I was wrong about Christian. Now Josh hated me. It all boiled down to one inevitable conclusion. I was just totally clueless.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, because my students tell me that all the time. So certainly, there's no question, the wonderful films of the 1990s and the beginning of the 2000s have built audiences for Austen in a way that nothing else could have done. But there can be a challenge sometimes if you feel that you've gotten to know Austen through the films, and you've had actors and screenwriters and directors and costume designers and location managers and everyone helping make a beautiful story for you. There can be a challenge when you open an Austen novel and it really is all on you, and you realize, hey, her sentences are quite long and her paragraphs also quite long and things don't move as quickly. So I think there's still a gap to be bridged when lovers of the films make their way to the novels.
There are a lot of people listening, before I let you go, who've always meant to read Jane Austen. They thought about it. They've seen the movies. Maybe in private, they know they've never actually picked up one of the novels. So what's your advice? Where to start?
I would recommend Pride and Prejudice for most people. But Persuasion, which is her story about an older heroine, a 27-year-old heroine, is a lovely one if you happen to be past the first blush of youth yourself. If you like humor best, then perhaps Northanger Abbey would be the place to start, since that's the novel where her humor is most broad.
Keen advice from Juliet Wells on the 200th anniversary of the death of Jane Austen. Juliet Wells is author of the forthcoming book, Reading Austen in America. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Todd. It was a pleasure.